podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I think we've started. Okay, smooth moves. It is Neil Atkinson with Gareth Roberts, with John Gibbons and with Carl Karpak. Is it the pink? I don't know. Is it the pink? Is it the purple? Is it the green and gold? What is it?
It's the post-match show in inverted commas.
It is the post-match show in inverted commas. We've just had confirmation through that it's postponed. There's a lot to get into, really. The first place to start, John, is whatever people think of the protests, I am in favour of Manchester United supporters protesting the Glazers. I have been in favour of Manchester United protesting the Glazers since the Glazers turned up into English football. If anything, I'd say we haven't had enough of it. But, you know, they've done a very, very good and effective job today. And that's my point, that whether or not people feel as though this protest is right or wrong, and I get what all of you feel about it, the first thing I would say is it's been very effective indeed, because the thing to damage is the product that goes on screens.
Yeah, the whole point of protest is disruption, and that's, you know, what people need to remember, really. You know, people always seem to be critical of protests in terms of, oh, well, you shouldn't do that, or you shouldn't do this, you know what I mean? If it's a protest, you know, if it's going to be effective, if it's going to create change or make people take notice, certainly owners who are thousands of miles away, who are probably not too bothered sort of how they get on today, but certainly will be, you know, concerned with games sort of getting called off and stuff. Then you have to sort of remember that, really. And listen, there is no Anfield opposition on the protests, on things like that. But, you know, the Anfield app was in many ways born out of, you know, SOS and you know, things, bonds that came from that. You know, I got to know a lot of people, you know, including people who are around us now, you know, a lot better through those sorts of times. And so, you know, I don't think you're going to hear many dissenting voices at all. You know, if you're looking out for them, I think you're going to be disappointed, not just on this show, but over the next few days, because fan protest, you know, I believe is a good thing. Fans should have their voices heard, and it's becoming harder and harder to find ways to do that and to find effective ways to do that. The United fans today have found an effective way. They've got a game called off, and in my opinion, fair play to them, because, you know, how do you get your message across there? How do you say enough is enough? I agree with you, Neil, that I think, you know, they should have been doing a lot earlier. I think, you know, in terms of the Glazers, you know, I know it's been some criticism in their own fan base and some frustration within their own fan base that they've not done more earlier. And I think a few of them have looked enviously over at Liverpool. I think that's fair to say in terms of how we've managed to mobilise them and what we've managed to achieve. But, you know, they've certainly managed to mobilise today, and they've certainly achieved a lot today.
Getting the match called off is the ultimate statement, Gareth. As John says, one of the issues with this, with ownership of clubs, we saw it with Hicks and Gillette. You can still make the case now with Fenway Sports Group, and we will circle back around and talk about them later on this, as we are a Liverpool podcast, so we will come back to discuss our owners later on in this. There's no reason for Gary Neville to repeatedly bring our owners up today, but that's Gary Neville's business. That said, there is this difficulty, isn't there, when the people that you want to protest against and the actions of the people you want to protest against are so remote, the best way, therefore, in order to disrupt, is to disrupt on a grand scale that will be global. NBC will have to talk about this. If there's a minor issue, I think today, it's that these United supporters need to be really, really clear, find a way to get a really strong, simple message out that this is about their ownership and that they are opposing their ownership.
Yeah, and they did that the other day, which I think is going amiss in all this. Like, so, you know, there's a lot of talk, a lot of cry arse, and a lot of sort of, you know, why have they done this? And you know, like a few bits of extreme behaviour have been put to the top of the agenda, as they are, as is always the want of the media. And then it's, well, okay, this small example of mindless vandalism means we discount everything else that's going on. Must put a statement out on Friday. And if people want to ignore that, which they largely have,
yeah, it's being put on Sky, as it on the telly.
Well, exactly, and that's the thing, isn't it? You know, there's lots of people moralising, saying there's other ways to go about this, there's other ways to do a protest. Yet they've tried, lads. You know, they've been protesting against these owners for 15 plus years, and no one's really listened, including the owners, including the media, including Sky, including all these pundits on Five Live who were moralising about the behaviour when I was driving into the office. So it is extreme what's happened today, but it's come from a place where people are so passionate about the sport and so disillusioned by what's gone on and just are lost on what they can do next. This is where they've arrived at. Let's stop the biggest game in English football. Let's stop them televising it. Let's make a huge story. They have achieved all of that, and there will now be discussions that follow it. And we've just watched, you know, we've just watched Sky Sports paddling in a circle for the last, you know, 2-3 hours or whatever, trying to fill really quickly. And it said a lot to me, both their coverage and what I heard on Five Live earlier, about how out of touch a lot of people who talk about football are with supporter culture. And that's why the likes of us, supporter organisations, you know, Spirit of Shankly, FSA, go on and on and on, whatever you want, mostly I've already mentioned. The reason that, you know, groups like that are thriving right now and people are coming together, football fans, is that they don't feel represented in what's going on. Even that conversation following what had gone on today. Go and get a fan. Go and get a supporter. Go and speak to someone who's supported Manchester United all his life or all her life and is disillusioned by what's gone on, is disillusioned by what the Glazers have done to their club, and get them to explain why it's come to people breaking into a football ground and stopping a football match taking place. Because I'd rather hear that than Graham Souness, I've got to be honest with you.
I mean, you say that though, but Abramovich is a real football man.
I mean, Jesus, I mean, you know,
and Abu Dhabi have done some good things. They've done some good things.
To hear, you know, them defending billionaires on, you know, the football men and all that. I mean, what's Mansour's been to one game, isn't it? I think in the whole time he's owned the club or something.
He's done some good things. I'm just quoting Graham Souness.
You know, there's no mention of the sports washing. There's no mention of the, you know, the £1 billion debts or whatever that's being put on United. There's no mention of, you know, the way United have treated their season ticket holders, etc. You know, there's loads of stuff that's gone on that we will be aware of because we talk to fans and we're in this world, and there's loads of stuff they're not aware of because they never do, and if they do, it's always just a little bit of a pat on the head. I mean,
I've spent some time in the company of Abramovich. He's a real football man.
I always go back to on this as well, you know, even when they want to cover this story, often the way they do it is fucking bizarre. You know, I always remember, and I'm sure we all do, Jay McKenna being on Sky Sports News talking to Jim White, and Jim White just being an absolute prick.
Jim White as well.
You know what Jesus. I mean? Like Jim taking on Jay, which is not a thing you should do, by the way. And Jay more than holding his own. But it was the manner in which he spoke to him.
Yeah.
You know, it was almost like, how dare you think you're anything to do with your football club?
Yeah.
Well, we do, Jim. And we all do. And that's, you know, that's what you're starting to see now. There's thousands of people that do. And they frankly had enough. They've been pushed over the edge, and that's what you're seeing now.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line in this is finally there's been a fan voice today, and it's been a controversial way of doing it. But the way I've been thinking about it is, if you're a United fan abroad and you don't know, we were talking before about, you know, what have the Glazers done wrong? Because not everybody knows. United fans don't. Not all, every United fan will know the answer to that. Then maybe someone somewhere else will go, I don't know any of this stuff. Why are they doing that? Because that's extreme. Not to watch Man United play Liverpool, which, and everyone wants to watch Man United play Liverpool. Not particularly today, but you know, maybe a fan will say, I want to read more into that now, and I want to find out, and I want to be more engaged because the club's X miles away or something like that, and I want to know what that's about. And you know, it's United and everything, and there's always going to be a bit of scorn because it's fan involved, you know, and we've just watched it through Sky Sports, shot through the prism of the media rather than through the fan groups. And it is the fan groups, and the fan groups have spoke out today. I've got no problem whatsoever what happened today. Firstly, Liverpool are unbeaten. So that's a big thing. That's a big thing for me.
Great result.
Really happy with the team. Very pleased. Wasn't expecting Milner, but there we go. But it's just, we're not hearing enough about fans. And what they were talking on Sky before about, you know, the fans all got together. That was really nice. And Carrick said it won't last, but it's a really nice thing that the fans got together about the European Super League and what have you. To be honest, I know it's United and everything, but I think we had so many protests, 11 years ago at this club. And we didn't go as far as they went to today, but the world's going to be talking about the issues at Man United, so the fans win.
And they got that, I mean, to go to 11 years ago, John, and I think on all this, it's worth remembering how draining a lot of this is. Everyone, you know, it looked like people were enjoying it today to an extent because it's the moment, but this is something that some United supporters have been involved in for 15 years, others not, some in and out, because that's the way all of this works. Yeah. None of this is easy. And I think that you know, at times when you see it on screen, it can look like there's a certain level of exuberance and all of that sort of stuff, not least because of the moments of transgressions, actually, you know, it can actually be quite exciting at those specific times. But none of this is easy. And those people today, you know, I think a lot of them will end up possibly with a charge of some description or something like that. They've taken risks. They'll have taken risks with their own livelihoods and all of that sort of stuff. I think sometimes from the outside, having sort of been part of some of these processes, everyone can think it all looks like it's just some people having a barrel of laughs. To actually go against your own football club is pretty miserable, and it's pretty draining, and having to do it over and over again is very miserable and very draining.
It's a really good point, Neil, and I'm glad you brought it up, because, you know, people will see, you know, people having a laugh today on the pitch and stuff like that, and we can all have a laugh about a fella and Mad Zebra Keks and stuff, and, you know, and then obviously right now they'll be feeling on top of the world because they've got what they wanted, haven't they? So, you know, they'll be, you know, absolutely made up. But this is just like a couple of hours in what's been, you know, weeks, years of lives. And, you know, for all the protests that are successful, there's dozens that aren't, you know, effectively, you know, there's trying to mobilise people, trying to get people down, not enough people go, you know, you're hoping for hundreds, it's dozens or whatever, you know, you're planning things in the ground, you know, other fans are having a go at you, you know, you end up arguing with your own supporters, and that's what happened to us, you know, Spitters of Shankly. There's so many people now who were made up to say, oh, what Liverpool did back then, but it was graft to even get your own fans to join in, you know, there was people falling out with each other, you know, there was people saying, well, Benitez has spent this or that, the same you get here with the Glazers now, oh, well, you heard Souness saying and other people saying, oh, they spent this money. You know, we were doing all that as well. So, you know, everyone likes to pretend, doesn't it, that it was this big United force against Hicks and Gillette. Well, was it fucked? You know what I mean? And but people did step up and people sort of did stuff. But for all the, you know, the big protests and I say, why you're marching and stuff like that, you know, you do end up enjoying it. You do end up sort of having a, you know, bit of a laugh or whatever, because, you know, you're with people and with your friends and you feel like you're doing something and that feels good. But, you know, it's all the time of, as you say, mobilising, organising, speaking to each other, trying to get people down things, trying to talk other people into doing things, arguing about what you're going to do and when you're going to do it and all that. And exhausted is the word, Neil. Exhausted is the word you've used. And look, they don't want to be doing that. People just want to support the football team. You know, Man United v Liverpool is one of the biggest games, you know, in world football, and certainly for fans of both clubs, it's one of the ones you look out for, and we've not seen it today, and that's sort of against everything, you know, why you're sort of in it for, really. And I think that should explain the sort of, you know, how people strongly, you know, those involved today feel about it.
Carl, the next sort of stage of this is, you know, you mentioned before about the supporters coming together thing. I think there's a pretty solid tradition of supporters coming together in this country around questions around ownership and questions around league action. I actually think it's actually understated that it does happen. You know, I think that it needs certain things at certain times. It is actually understated. What I think, there's a genie back in the bottle problem that the Premier League as a whole has got. So this is another instance that involves a top six club. But ultimately, if you're looking for reform and regulation of football in this country, it's a full Premier League problem. It's not a top six problem. It's not a specific ownership problem. Yeah. But it is, you know, the idea of what you do or don't do around board representation, what you do or don't do about sharing more money down the pyramid. I think this is really interesting, because I think there's a possibility that this moment, there was a people at the Premier League who were quite happy, and people on Sky who were quite happy a couple of weeks ago to stoke this and to really get people whipped up into a bit of a frenzy, who right now I think might be looking at each other going, how do we get this back into the bottle? Because we do not want reform. We do not want to see the money shared down the pyramid. We don't want games being called off. We don't want this to be a fan moment. A fan moment is not in our interests. No. Whereas the fans, I think, are able to come together and stay together for a decent period.
Yeah, I mean, and there is that solidarity between, obviously, as Liverpool fans, we don't like certain other clubs and vice versa, and quite a few don't like us, I've heard too. But I was thinking before about the time we played Hull, and they were going through their big issue about, you know, changing the name of the club and what have you.
Christ, yep.
And I got talking to people outside the ground saying, you know, will you sign a petition? And there's like loads of Reds just standing around saying, tell us what's going on. We don't know what's going on, but, you know, we've just been through this. And, of course, that's where we had the ticket boycott as well. It's it's a really, really positive thing to be a fan at the moment, and, you know, and being part of that group. And again, Carragher said it won't last, and I can see that completely. But it's, I can't think of a club in the Premier League that hasn't had an ownership problem like this. United took it to the extreme today, and it's worked. But it's not just, you said, you know, it's not just the top six who've got ownership issue. I can't think of a single club who hasn't had gone, these aren't doing it for us, are they, at the moment? And maybe this will be a groundswell of a change or something like that. You know, it's going to be difficult to do that, but what, it's a positive day.
What they're doing it is, Carl, I think, though, and this is where this does get a little bit disparate, and this is where, for instance, when you look on social and you see all the different voices, and when there was that moment on Sky, we're talking about here an issue with a Manchester United ownership, and we're talking in general 2 weeks ago about greed in football and yeah. about the top six wanting all the money for themselves. And we're talking about a Premier League which keeps far too much of English television revenue. And then given 20 minutes, the old men on Sky had a big row about who Man United should buy to play right wing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking here about 80, 90 million pound players. And
Harry Kane, he's gone. He's done.
Whatever it takes, I think we said, literally whatever it takes.
And Grealish, whatever it takes.
And they were buying Grealish.
And they were buying Grealish, and there was a bit of Jadon Sancho chat. But it was whatever it takes.
Yeah.
And that is, that still remains, and that isn't just, you know, unique to the punditry. And I'll say it again, you know, the Anfield Rap sees a boost in number of people who are subscribers. No one's hands are clean here.
No.
Our hands are not clean.
No.
I want to be really clear on that. If anyone's listening to this, our hands are not clean. You know, you can go through absolutely everyone. No one's hands are clean. You know, Sky have a day where they count the money as it comes in and goes out, put a yellow tie on and make a big fucking deal out of it. But you've just got to see it there. And supporters themselves, we all want transfers. We all talk transfers. We all want the big money signing. It's just happened there on Sky. And that does remain to me a little bit of the conflict. This is what the money does, and this is where the money is. Yeah. And that's something that everyone's got to bear in mind.
Yeah, I wrote something about the ESL a couple of weeks ago, and I had loads of people saying, yes, but how are you going to afford Van Dijk's wages unless you do something like this? And, you know, there is a huge blind spot between those two issues, you know. But it's, I mean, that's the thing. No one's hands are clean on this. There's no easy solution to it. But it's, what it isn't going on with that is it's not really being addressed. As, you know, as we said with Sky, there's people just saying, all right, yeah, this is well done. £200 million, Harry Kane, please. There's no obvious answer, I think.
When we were watching the men on Sky, and that's the thing we will talk about for another split second or so, Gareth, one of the things that struck me was I thought Carragher, from the bits I heard as I was in and out, I think it's fair to say that the three who were sat with Dave Jones were finding it difficult and were filling for their lives. Carragher did make the point, and he went out of his way to make the point, that it shouldn't be framed by the actions of one or two idiots. And that's quite a bold point to make. It's not a point I hear made very often around sort of mass public protest. Normally, every media organisation is desperate to put the one or two idiots front and centre. And yep. Carragher couldn't have made that argument more concisely or more firmly, that this should not be allowed to be framed about one or two moments of violence and vandalism.
No, he did well, and I would make the same point, but I would also say that tomorrow, you know what, newspaper will have what on the front, and it won't be anything positive. It will be a fella, you know, throwing a piece of camera equipment, or it will be a flare aimed at the Sky Sports studio in there, or it'll be someone who's picked up an injury by the looks of things. But, you know, there are thousands of people there doing lots of things, and, you know, they choose to pick the most controversial thing. That's always the way it's been. And I'm sure we'll get the high horse stuff about football fans and all the rest of it. There's some odd stuff out there as well, just about, you know, imagine this was us and what would people say about us. It doesn't have to be about us and them and all this kind of stuff.
It's too big for that.
For me, it's about football fans, this, and about the role of supporters in our clubs, and about the fact that we've had the piss taken out of us for nigh on a decade, if not more now. And it just keeps getting ramped up and ramped up and ramped up. And the Super League was the step too far for most of us, hence why you saw the reaction. But, you know, with the Super League, with everything that they do, I think a lot of the owners think we'll just ride the storm and we can just carry on, because what can they do? Souness was wrong when he said, what about if you turned your back on the coach, or what about if you protested peacefully on the streets? No one would be asked, Graham. It'd get two lines in a match report. and then the match would take place. Everyone would talk about the football, and then everyone would talk about what players should be signed in the summer.
It is going to be fan steel corner flag. That's the headline tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, you'll get that as well. Yeah, I heard that on the radio already on the way up. It was like, you know, some lad ringing in saying this wasn't about a protest. This was about getting inside the ground and taking selfies. Look, people are in there doing that. And like, there's a bit of a, I mean, imagine how it would have felt to have done that. I think you've got a, you made the point before, Neil, like people have potentially lost their jobs over this, because, you know, you see faces in newspapers, on the telly and stuff like that, and they say, right, we don't want to be associated with you. A lot of people have taken a risk here because of how much they love their football club and of how much they love the game, and because they don't love the direction that it's going in. Some people have gone more extreme than others. We know that. Some of the, you know, the behaviour's gone slightly too far. Again, we know that. But I just think, you know, all the other stuff that is talked about in terms of how to process, it's been done. It's been done and nothing changed. It's been done and they were still, you know, still pointing in the same direction. And with the Glazers in particular, it's nearly 16 years now. 16 years of royally taking the piss out of a football club is going to get you down. So you saw the reaction from some people today of people who were down about the football club. I mean, and as we just said before, I think all of us around the table here, and Andy, who's producing as well, all put our heart and soul into the Hicks and Gillette situation. It was fucking horrible. It wasn't about football, that. It was nothing to do with football. You go in the game and, like, you know, your anxiety's through the roof, you're on edge, you're protesting, you're arguing with other fans, you're telling people to get out the chippy and, you know, get behind the protest to get the owners out. You're arguing with people in
getting
the
ground. Getting clapped marching's always been my favourite.
People were fighting on the cop.
Taking photos.
People were literally swinging punches at each other on the cop over it, because it was get behind the team, no, get the owners out, and those two things being, you know, you couldn't do both at once type of thing. And, you know, let's have it right as well. You know, let's not go down the road of Manx this, Manx the other, and people who've gone too far just because you want to say something nasty about the Manx. Scousers were planning this. Scousers were planning this under Hicks and Gillette era. Yeah. We talked about, I can remember conversations about blocking TV companies, making sure, you know, a match that was meant to be on the telly didn't happen. We talked about it. They've done it. And this is an extreme form of protest. But it's worked. It's a worldwide story.
Come back to your own. Bring it back into us. I found Neville really quite unedifying, to be frank, throughout, to be honest with you, Gareth, in that there's the Super League stuff, obviously. I'm happy to have any conversation with anyone at any time, about Fenway Sports Group, any time, any place. Just, you know, have the decency to turn up and do it in person and not on a pseudonym on the internet. And there is, or to try to use Top Reds as a pejorative, there is within it, I think I'd argue, in this instance, this is Glazer specific. So it's obviously all been kicked off by the Super League stuff. We know we've been very clear on what we think of the decisions made by Liverpool's owners around that. Within this, for Manchester United, this is Glazer specific. They've took billions out of that club in dividends. They did the trick where they basically bought it with its own money. They've been remortgaging it over and over and over again to take further money out of the football club. That is quite different. And what I find difficult.
You've allowed the ground to go into disrepair.
Yeah. Whereas
taking the piss out of season ticket holders, like I said before. Loads of stories going on.
Whereas that's the other for Liverpool. Liverpool have improved the ground, and you can't have the same conversation around season ticket holders. I find Neville's desire to constantly make it about Manchester United and Liverpool today, I actually find it quite distasteful. And I'm finding the way in which Neville's being treated as some sort of neutral oracle in amongst all this quite difficult to stomach. I found it difficult to stomach 2 weeks ago. People are forgetting, you know, he owns a chunk of another football club, which has spent a lot of money to become a league football club, a lot more money than a lot of other clubs do. And I just think he's got to be careful himself not to, you know, he makes a good point and he makes it well a lot of the time, but he's got to be careful because him trying to equate things the way in which he does is just, it's just simply not accurate. And I think that if you are trying to sort of diffuse various situations or not diffuse situations, you've just got a duty to be accurate in terms of what it is you're saying and doing.
Yeah, because I mean, a lot of Man United supporters have asked questions about him for many years, about where he was talking about the Glazers a long time ago. And okay, he seems to have, you know, come round in more recent times. But, you know, when he was playing under them, and then he wasn't playing under them. And from what I know about it, he wasn't banging the drum like he is now about them being, you know, bad owners. So, you know, that situation changed. There's what he's doing himself, as you say, lower down the leagues. Salford are not liked, it's fair to say. And there's a reason for that. And part of that reason is the money that's being pumped into them, the wages they play, and you know, Gary's record of sacking managers. So, you know, there is loads of that going on. And the crowbarring in of FSG today, like, I actually seen a tweet about it, like, and I laughed when I seen the tweet, because this was sort of an hour or so before he did it. And it said, I wonder when Gary Neville will blame Liverpool for this.
Yeah.
And I laughed at that. And then I came in and saw him on there talking about FSG, or saw him at home talking about
FSG. Did a good 10 minutes on it.
What's this got to do with them?
Yeah.
Because we can decide ourselves as a fan base here, thanks very much, Gary, yeah, what we think about our owners and where we're at with it. And where we're at with it is there isn't mass protests against FSG right now. People had the opportunity to go round Anfield the other day if they wanted to, and not very many people did. And those that did welcomed the team, supported the team, and that's where they wanted to be at. And my stance, and I'm not influencing anyone, this is my stance, my view, my opinion. My opinion is this, that I want to see what they do next. Because I'm not certain on who it is we're asking for if we want other owners. Because I don't want a team of fellas coming in who behead people on a regular basis. That's not something I'm behind. And it's only a lot of the fellas who've got the type of money we're talking about are them fellas. What I want to see from FSG is them move in a direction, a sustainable, proper direction of involving supporters in the club. And hopefully this all serves as a no, you actually have to do something this time. This is an opportunity for you to get better as owners, involving us. And yeah, Gary, you can fuck off. We're all right in Liverpool. We'll work things out for ourselves, thanks.
Yeah, I completely agree. I've not nominated Gary Neville as my spokesman, and as Robbo says, we can crack on and we can take care of our things ourselves, thanks very much. You know, and I agree with Gareth on the point of, you know, SOS, who you know, don't represent everyone and don't claim to, but the closest thing we've got to sort of fan representation, and they do a really good job, in my opinion, of canvassing opinion, of standing up for supporters, and anyone who wants can join and pay the subs and sort of get involved, and you know, they'd love more people, you know, sort of, you know, involved and standing up to do sort of jobs on the board and stuff, because I know at times, you know, over the last few years, it's been sort of hard for them really, but they've consistently been there, they've consistently stood up for Liverpool fans, I think, and they've done that over the last couple of weeks. They put a really good statement out. It was forthright, I thought, and you know, it went a bit further than maybe I would have gone, but fair play, you know, they did that. And Billy Hogan's come back and said he takes on the points on board, he's read the statements, he's seen the poll. And by the way, it's worth noting as well that the questionnaire they did, the survey results were all, you know, were there, and I were actually in favour of you know, greater fan representation on board, but not trying to remove the owners at the moment, and instead, you know, to try and change things. To have dialogue, and that's what the members have voted for. And yes, it is just the members, but well, what else are these sorts of supposed to do, really? Anyone can join, anyone can say, and that's what their members voted for. That's what they come out and ask for. And most importantly, Billy Hogan has answered that and said, yeah, let's have these conversations. So like Gareth, I'm up for let's wait and see where these conversations go. And if they don't go the way that we want them to, and Spirit of Shankly be first to come out and say, look, this is just, you know, lip service and nothing sort of happened, and then we've got a decision to make as a fan base. But until then, you know, Gary Neville can leg it, and we'll look after ourselves.
It's obviously difficult, because you're trying to navigate through these things, Carl. To come back to sort of an earlier point and ram it home, I think there's some people who have got a real fondness and a real love for Liverpool Football Club, and there's lots of reasons why, but one of the things they've seen in the past is a lot of support of direct action. You know, you can pull a lot in on that. You know, genuinely, the whole of the Campaign for Justice is an aspect of that all the way through. And then I think what they therefore see, a lot of people who, and I'm not at all using this in a patronising way, a lot of people who aren't based in Liverpool or who aren't necessarily even based in the UK, and they have a problem with the ownership, the current Liverpool ownership, and they don't understand why that's not sort of being demonstrated in the way they've seen either in the past or on other matters. And I understand at times where those people are coming from, but this is back to my point about it's exhausting. That to do all of this, the people that give their time up to do Spirit of Shankly stuff, the Spying Cop 1906 people, yeah, they, you know, these humans give up an awful lot to be able to do this stuff. And the idea of ending up, as Man United have done, and I completely understand why, and I'm, you know, I think I've made it clear I'm supportive of it today, But to do that, it is exhausting. It's a massive drain. To end up in an all-out war with your football club is absolutely no battle of laughs. That's where Man United are today. And if people want Liverpool to end up in the same place, they need to remember whose lives are collateral damage. It's the people who do the protesting. It's the people who go the matches. It's the people who run Spirit of Shankly.
It's one of those things. People don't wake up in the morning and think, right, fancy doing a bit of agitating. I fancy getting angry about something today. Let's organise this, protest about something like that. No one wants to be in a position where we have to protest. We just want... I've been saying this about FSG is... Whenever I write something, I said, oh, yeah, every time I slag off FSG, I always hear, so what, you want some sort of petrol oligarch or something like that? No, I want my owners. I want my owners to do a better job of what they're doing. And that's all like SOS wants and things like that. It's not, we're not just doing this for the sake of doing it just because we're quite argumentative as a city. It's part of it, sadly, but, you know. And let's face it, we are a nightmare. We are a nightmare fan base for people who don't understand the city and struggle with the concept, even of owning a football club, and they don't really understand what that entails. But by the way, these people, they are going to make your life a hell. But we don't do it for the sake of making people's lives a hell. We do it because we don't like to be treated in a certain way. People are spending a lot of time doing this, and they're not doing this just because they get their name on press releases or they get interviewed or anything like that, or get lots of followers on Twitter. We're doing it for the good of the football club. We're doing it for the good of the fan base, which is basically the key stakeholder, which is a big word at the moment, but the key stakeholder of the football club. We're doing it to make things good for the club and the fan base. So we want those things to be united more than anything else, rather than, we don't always want to fight. It just seems that way sometimes.
It's, go on.
I was just going to say, this what's happened at Manchester United today. I had a phone call about it 2 weeks ago, because Manchester United fans were keen to know if some Liverpool fans would be interested in a protest at Old Trafford today, because they knew we were up in arms about the Super League thing. They wondered where we were about our owners in general. And the Super League thing, has died to death, and we're all glad about that. We didn't like the idea of it. It's gone, it's done, it's dusted. But, this isn't, as Carl says, this isn't just something that's been done on a whim. This has been something they've been thinking about for a long, long time. It is born out of the fact that they've got awful owners who've been awful for a long time, and we're now part of the Super League on top, and that they decided enough was enough. So... and that is something that they've... So, they're all up nights thinking about how's it going to work? What can we do? Why are we doing it? Well, the lad I had a conversation with about it, he said... He was like, I'm getting a bit hard now. And he said, but to be honest with you, like, my son absolutely loves the game, loves going. And he said, and I want him to have what I've had. And he said, and I don't want the competition to be diluted. I don't want it to go in a direction where he won't be able to afford to go. I don't want it to go in a direction where all of a sudden meaningful games that, should involve Manchester United playing at Old Trafford involves Manchester United playing on another continent or whatever. He's decided it's worth fighting for. And that's someone with a good job and a good education. He doesn't want selfies on the pitch. He doesn't want a corner flag. He doesn't want all the other shite that's being levelled at them today. He just wants the football club to be run in a way that recognises the values that he recognises himself for that club. And I think we're the same about ours. We want the club to act in a certain way, have values, have meaningful values. So like the trademark stuff rubbed people up the wrong way because it was like, that doesn't feel right, that. Liverpool's of the city, and so therefore, use the live a bit or use the name Liverpool, but it's not just yours. It can't just be yours. That's ridiculous. It's Liverpool's. You're just part of Liverpool. You're Liverpool Football Club in the city of Liverpool. So play like that, act like that, be like that. And I think that's what the Manx want with Man United as well.
Okay, I think we'll begin to sort of wrap this up. Anything that anyone else has particularly wanted to say off the back of today? I wouldn't want to leave anyone feeling...
What I was thinking about before was I used to play Saturday footy, and I think most of us have played a bit at some point. I remember there's times where you decide to stay in on a Friday night and then the game would get called off because the referee didn't turn up and you were fuming. And you were like, fucking hell, I stayed in and missed it. And I was just picturing Bobby Firmino going, see, I told you we should have gone to fucking circus. See all them videos, fucking the wee man was putting, Craig Hanna was throwing on the fucking Twitter there.
Did you see Fat Boy? What Fat Boy was doing there? That would have been absolutely massive. He's saying to Fabinho.
Oh, honestly, fucking kicking off on the bus, going, told you we should have gone. Fucking fridge.
Anything else for you?
No, it's a frustrating day for a lot of people who just really, really wanted to watch the biggest game in English football. And that's really, really frustrating. Mm. But there's a bigger picture, and we don't know at this stage if they're going to replay it or people are going to be deducted points or anything like that. Mate of mine just said if they're deducted points, we shouldn't take them. I disagree with that fervently. No, that's not happening, Stephen. Sorry, mate. But it's a good day for fans. Robbo was saying before, like, you know, you're going to be reading a lot of stuff in the press about football fans being thugs and going into grounds and breaking in and stealing things and taking selfies, and that's not the story today.
Anything else?
No, that isn't the story. That's exactly right. And, like, I just hope that, you know, I mean, there's not going to be loads of journalists listening to this and want my advice, but I just generally wish they would speak to fans more, find out the real story, go and speak to fans about why you've put a lot of things on the line to go and do what you've done today. And don't just do the obvious stuff. Don't just do, you know, don't bend to stereotypes or shit headlines or use phrases that no one uses, like thugs and yobs and all this shite. You know, just, like, break through the tabloidies and actually go and get the real story. Go and find out about how passionate people are about the football club and what they want from it. You know, to have someone like Jermaine Genas on 5 Live before when I'm driving in saying, can someone send me a list of what the Glazers have done wrong because I don't get it? I mean, I've sent him it. Yeah. So he just needs to look on his Twitter now, Jermaine. But, you know, that's not good enough. Like, I mean, I'm picking on him there, but there's loads of them this afternoon who've proven that they don't know enough about the game. Like, fair enough, you're on there to talk about the actual sport and the actual kicking of the ball, and I get that. But come on, look at the wider picture as well. Wonder maybe why fans are this up in arms about something. And it's, you know, it's not just a daft story. It's way beyond that. It's people, something they've devoted. Like, I always think, like, you know, there's still a thing of looking in. People who don't get football look in and think football fans are weird. Well, actually, instead of doing that, find out why we are and why we want what we want, and report that instead.
Okay, so it's fair to say that the four people who've been on this show, plus Andy, who's producing it, are broadly speaking in agreement. That's, in a lot of ways, it's not ideal, but literally we were in, and that's how this stuff works. So it goes from there, and you end up just sort of pulling it together. There'll be some people who contribute to the Anfield Wrap who may not agree with us. There'll be some people listening to this who subscribe to the Anfield Wrap who may not agree with us. There'll be some people who are casual listeners to the Anfield Wrap who may not agree with us, and all those positions are perfectly valid. It's absolutely perfectly valid to disagree with us. We have not got all the answers about anything. As Gareth says, though, you can ask questions and find out what people think. And in general, as John says before, Liverpool supporters in general have got forms of representation who are going through a process of dialogue with the football club. You might not want them to go through a process of dialogue with the football club, but that's what they've chosen to do. You can choose to do whatever you want to do. You can choose to do whatever view you have. You can decide to try to call a meeting and see how many people come to see if you want to take some action against Fenway Sports Group, and I think there's a fighting chance that Gary Neville will be in the sand on the day it reopens, seeing what he can put together. All of that said, you know, this is representative, as I say, of the opinions of the four people, plus Andy, I think it is fair to say, who are sitting here. We've done the best that we can under these sorts of circumstances. I hope you very much enjoyed this insofar as you can, and whenever this game is replayed, I hope Liverpool batter those Manc bastards 5-0. Sports Social Podcast Network.